very keen, you know, they just want to carry on.
Right, first reading this morning is Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and many people followed him. Jesus took the 12 disciples aside and spoke of things that were going to happen to him. Listen, he told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and then hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, whip him, but 3 days later he will rise to life. The time was near for the festival of the Passover. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were afraid of the people, and so they were trying to find a way of putting Jesus to death secretly. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples. So Judas went off and spoke with the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard about how he could betray Jesus to them. They were pleased and offered to pay him money. Judas agreed to it and started looking for a good chance to hand Jesus over to them without the people knowing about it. May God bless this reading.
Second reading, Jesus prepares to eat the farewell meal. The day came during the festival of unleavened bread, when the lambs for the Passover meal were to be killed. Jesus sent off Peter and John with these instructions: go and get the Passover meal ready for us to eat. Where do you want us to get it ready? They asked him. Jesus answered, as you go into the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the room where my disciples and I will eat the Passover meal? He will show you a large furnished room upstairs, where you will get everything ready. They went off and found everything just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. While they were eating at the table, Jesus said, I will tell you that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. The disciples were upset and began to ask one after the other, surely you don't mean me, do you? Jesus answered, it will be one of you 12, one who dips his bread in the dish with me. The Son of Man will die as the scripture says he will. But how terrible for that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been far better for that man if he had never been born. While they were eating, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. Take it, he said, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and handed it to them, and they all drank from it. And Jesus said, this is my blood, which is poured out for many, my blood which seals God's covenant. I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God. Amen.
Now let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we greet your coming. You rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, a symbol of humility and lowliness, mocking our dreams of pomp and glory, demonstrating the fullness of God before the eyes of the world. You have shown us the way of humble service, the way of true greatness. Lord Jesus, help us to follow you always. Father of mercies and God of all comfort, we pray this day for all those who continue to suffer because of war, and especially for those in Ukraine, the widows, the orphans, and all who are bereaved, the wounded, the crippled, the deaf, the dumb, the blinded, the self-shocked, and the traumatized, the refugees without a home, work, or country. Grant to them all, Lord, your healing and strength, your help and consolation, and let it be mediated wherever possible through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The second Palm Sunday hymn is All Glory, Lord and Honour.
Yeah. third reading, Jesus prays for his followers. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that the Son may give glory to you. For you gave him authority that the Son may give glory to you. For you gave him authority over all mankind, so that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him." And eternal life means knowing you, the only true God, and knowing Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have shown your glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Father, give me glory in your presence now, the same glory I had with you before the world was made. I have made you known to those you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me. They have obeyed your word, and now they know that everything you gave me comes from you. I gave them the message that you gave me, and they received it. They know that it is true that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you gave me, for they belong to you. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and my glory is shown through them. And now I am coming to you. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Holy Father, keep them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. I pray not for them, I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their message. I pray that they may all be one. Father, may they be in us, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be one, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I gave them the same glory you gave me, so that they may see my glory, the glory you gave me. For you loved me before the world was made. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know you that you sent me. I make you known to them, and I will continue to do so, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and so that I also may be in them.
The fourth reading, the arrest of Jesus and Peter's denial. After Jesus had prayed, he left with his disciples and went across the brook called Kidron. There was a garden in that place, and Jesus and his disciples went in. And as he was speaking to his disciples, Judas appeared with a crowd, armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priest, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. Then the Roman soldiers with their commanding officer and the Jewish guards arrested Jesus, bound him, and took him first to Annas. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jewish authorities that it was better that one man should die for all the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. That other disciple was well known to the high priest, so he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest's house, while Peter stayed outside by the gate. Then the other disciple went back out, spoke to the girl at the gate, and brought Peter inside. The girl at the gate said to Peter, "Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man?" "No, I'm not," answered Peter. It was cold, so the servants and guards had built a charcoal fire and were standing around it, warming themselves. Peter went over and stood with them, warming himself. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have always spoken publicly to everyone. All my teaching was done in the synagogues and in the temple where all people come together. I have never said anything in secret. Why then do you question me? Question the people who heard me. Ask them what I told them. They know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the guards slapped him and said, "How dare you talk like that to the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have said anything wrong, tell everyone here what it was. But if I'm right in what I have said, why do you hit me?" Then Annas said, still bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Peter was still standing there, keeping himself warm. So the others said to him, "Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man?" But Peter denied it. "No, I am not," he said. One of the high priest's slaves spoke up. "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" he asked. Again, Peter said no, and at once a cock crowed.
The next one is I See the King of Glory, Hosanna. I've got the vocal version of this, just in case people don't know it very well, and so feel free to just listen or join in if you know it.
Yeah.
we come to what the Lord has to say to us today. The title, Who is This? Who is this? Oh, that was the question that many were asking on that day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Some recognized him and were excited. Some wanted to know more about this man that they saw. Others were angry. Who does he think he is? Who is he? I've got 6 points. They're very, very short, which I'm sure you'll be glad to know as we have communion as well. Number one, some of the crowd actually recognized him, and they were excited. And the challenge to us, number one, is, are we excited about Jesus? Because friends, we should be. We each one should be excited about Jesus and who he is. Number two, some of the crowd rejected him. Oh dear, do we reject him? Or do we reject his teaching? And also, do we know others who reject him? And if we do, what are we doing about it? Number three, as Jesus saw the city, he wept, he cried, and such was his concern for the people in that city, people who he knew, and people who he knew about their behavior. Do we weep over people that we know? Jesus, does he weep over our church? Does he weep over the church throughout the world? Is the church today all that it should be? And does Jesus weep over us as individuals? Do we at times do things that make Jesus weep, because he loves us and he wants the best for us? Number four, Jesus cleared out of the temple those who were selling. Why did he do it? Turning out people, not what we think about Jesus. Well, the reason, they were cheating the people. As they excuse me, sellers in the temple were actually cheating the people that they were selling to. And the other reason, of course, that Jesus turned them out was the time was coming when they would not need to make sacrifices. See, those people were selling things that people could make sacrifices of. But the time was coming when there would be no need to make sacrifice, because Jesus was to die on the cross as the one and only sacrifice that would be needed. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. Jesus, the one without sin. Don't need any other sacrifice after that wonderful thing that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Number five, we ask you to notice how Jesus entered the city. So humbly. If he could display humility, surely that must be a lesson to us. How do we need to follow the example of Jesus and his humility? He could have entered the city, you know, like famous people probably would do, on a big horse with a crowd gathering around him, you know, as if he was someone important. Jesus didn't. He entered on a donkey, quietly and humbly. And we need to follow the example, because that's not the only time he revealed humility. Jesus revealed humility throughout his life here on earth. Number six, the final one, the sacrifice that Jesus made is for us, so that we might live for him and serve him in the world where we live. In other words, when we think about Jesus dying on that cross, and we think of him perhaps as the sacrifice for our sins, let us make it more personal. He died there for you and for me individually. He died for us. He died for us wherever we live. So, friends, why did he do it? That we might live for him and that we might serve him in the world where he has placed us. So what are we doing? Are we serving him? We need, my friends, to praise him. We need to sing our hallelujahs. We need to let our hosannas be clear. Let them be indeed sincere, but also our service and the way we live for him must also be sincere. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
So now we're going to sing My Jesus, My Saviour. Shout to the Lord. It's catching, isn't it? Shout to the Lord, if we can.
Never cease to
So we come to the table. We have bread, we have wine. They are very special because they are symbols of the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus, given so freely for us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son into this world. We thank you for his example, for his humility. We thank you for his teaching. But Lord, most of all, we thank you that Jesus was willing to die on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. It was a wonderful thing that Jesus did. But as we've heard, people accused him. People spat at him. Oh Lord, you suffered a great deal, but you did it all for us. And so as we take this bread and wine this morning, we pray that we might truly remember with thankful and humble hearts all that you have achieved for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we remember that Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body which is given for you." Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We know that Jesus also took the cup. He said, "This cup is the sacrifice in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it," said Jesus, "in remembrance of me." We hold the cup that we might drink together once we're all served. The very precious blood of Jesus was shed for us, for each one of us. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Let us drink and be thankful. Father God, we thank you for our time in your presence. We thank you for our worship. We thank you that we know that you are always ready to hear, to answer our prayers, ready to teach us, ready to help us. And so, Lord, we thank you. And as we go our different ways, we ask that you would go with us to our homes, to our families and friends, and that you would keep us safe and humble in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To conclude the worship by singing Majesty, Worship His Majesty.
All right. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
You are Sarah.
Before we all disappear, there's something that we felt we should honour you with. Please. Since the Willard Church was founded, you have faithfully played the music for us week in, week out. Without fail, they have been quietly supported with us with music, because you were so reliable that whatever we needed, you supported us. We felt we wanted to mark this dedication with a small gift for our heartfelt thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Jonas. Thank you, Jonas. That's it.